Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. This is Victoria Pearson, and today my guest is the creator of the only girl guitar company in the world. And talking to me directly from Los Angeles, it's Tish Siravalo. Tish,
yes.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on Radio Gorgeous.
Yes, it's a gorgeous name as well, isn't it?
It is. It's fabulous.
Just right for us. How did the idea for Daisy Rock Girl Guitars begin?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why it came into existence. One of those is because I was, or am, a female bass player, and in the 80s I dealt with a lot of discrimination by not having anything in a music store that I could really play. The first bass that I got into a music store with my boyfriend, and my boyfriend and the guy behind the counter both decided what I should buy and what I should be playing. And that's because they just didn't really have females that walked in that were looking for basses and guitars in the 80s. We were a very, very small group of women in Los Angeles, about a handful of us that played. And so then I met my husband, Michael Siravalo, and he noticed all of the complications I had with playing bass. You know, I'm not a 5'1" little petite little girl, so he was, you know, saying, you know, what's the problems? And I was like, always, they're too heavy. They feel like a baseball bat in my hand. And, you know, I finally went back. I'd taken the bass that day that my boyfriend had gotten me back to the music store the next day and said, I can't play this. And so I kind of sat down and played everything on the wall until I could find something that I liked. And so Michael was kind enough to build me a couple of basses early on in our relationship. And then, of course, you know, fast forward our life a few years and I have a daughter. And one day she's doing a drawing of a Daisy, just like every little year and a half year old kid does, and with crayons. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, you know what? We should make guitars for girls, because if we made guitars for girls, maybe more girls would want to play guitar. And so I took the drawing and put a neck and a headstock on it, took it to my husband and said, you know, we should make guitars for girls. And so he was kind of like, well, what is that? What is a girl guitar? And so we started defining what that would mean. And lighter in weight, slimmer neck profile, all those things that went into it. And we made our very first Daisy prototype. And immediately, all my friends that were my age that saw it were like, you know, why are you just making these for little girls? Why don't you make something for me? Because I still have the same issue. And so we started making, you know, full size. And we made daisies and hearts and butterflies and stars. But then we also did the traditional single cutaway and the double cutaway, just to get into that world of, you know, nobody was doing guitars at all in 2000 and 2001 for the female population. And I started the basics of my company by saying to dealers, if you'll take a guitar and put it in your window, I will guarantee that it'll sell. And so I did everything on consignment in the beginning, because I had such a strong belief that there was this female market out there that was being hugely ignored. And that's how we started 18 years ago.
And how are the guitars designed to be more suitable for women? You're talking about things like cutaways. What does that mean? What's a cutaway?
Well, it's a cutaway is the, when you look at a guitar and it has either a single cutaway, which is one side of the body is bigger, closer to the neck than the other. So it's either a single or a double. So, you know, Fender's basically a single cutaway and Gibson's basically a double cutaway. That's kind of a generalization in the guitar business. But really what defined it for being a girl guitar is the slimmer neck profile, which means it's a little easier to push down those strings, and then lighter in weight, meaning that it didn't weigh 10 and 12 pounds, which is what some guitars do weigh when you're trying to play them. And that's a big piece of wood to be putting on your body that you're going to stand and hold with a strap for a long period of time.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that heavy.
Oh yeah, Gibsons are, you know, really known for that. And I mean, there's obviously other guitar companies out there that have been making guitars for girls, and but nobody had defined how to make a girl guitar. So that's, we didn't even know what to call it. It was sitting on the couch and we're like, what do we call this? And it was like a daisy. And my husband said, well, it's like a rock, a daisy rock. And I was like, yeah, it's a daisy rock guitar. And we named it. And and it's been a roller coaster, you know. Immediately people started picking up on it. They started understanding it after I did my first NAMM, and I literally was the only guitar company on the NAMM show floor that had a pink guitar. And then the next year I went back to NAMM, and then it was just a sea of pink guitars.
So,
not only did the consumer embrace it, but all of the other companies, you know, try to jump on that bandwagon by taking their traditional guitar that they were already making, painting it pink and saying, oh, this is for a girl. But, you know, I was the, and I still am the only company that said, you know, let's reinvent the wheel and make it something that's easier or more fun. I am the queen of pink sparkles. So I'm at the NAMM show, and there's nobody at the NAMM show that's got any spaces so far, you know, what I'm talking about, like where a girl would feel comfortable or be inspired by music. So I started doing, you know, pink carpet and chandeliers and just having this one place in a sea, you know, of nothing but male-dominated kind of companies. And I'd have like this one safe space, so to speak, where girls could come and pick up a guitar and play. And so, you know, immediately it's the go-to for any girl that ends up at NAMM. And then, of course, all of the music dealers started seeing this surge of more girls playing guitar because they had a girl guitar in their window.
Okay. So can you talk me through the different designs? I'm particularly keen on the Rock Candy graphic designs.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously in 18 years, I've done a lot of different kinds of things where you kind of go, you try to be the trendsetter and come out with something new. And then you try to, you know, also just always have your own identity. For instance, the Rock Candy guitar is named the Rock Candy guitar. You don't get names like that from other guitar companies. It's, you know, it's like the Omen or the 666 or or it's an MX235, you know what I mean? It's like the naming system for guitar companies have always been very male oriented. So I when I did Daisy Rock, immediately I was like, okay, we have to have really fun names. And so, you know, the Daisy Rock came in like awesome blue. And it was just really funny because, you know, like sky blue and awesome yellow and, you know, the guys at the company were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm trying to give it its own identity that girls can understand. And not that they couldn't understand a black MX guitar, but that wasn't for them, you know. And Peppermint Pink was one of my big names. And so I named the Rock Candy series because I loved the band Montrose in the 70s, and they did a great song called Rock Candy in that. So that's why it said the names of the guitars are like Rock Candy and Stardust, and because that was my David Bowie influence. Yeah. And then I got to name like all the different kinds of guitars, different colors that, you know, made me think of bands too. So, but yeah, the Rock Candy is like our single cutaway. You know, we do it in both a set neck and a bolt-on neck. Bolt-on necks are usually easier to play, just predominantly that's the way it is. And the graphics, we've done an amazing amount of different graphics over the years. But, you know, to this day, the Atomic Pink, you know, Sparkle Rock Candy is like one of the best sellers that we still have.
Wow. And not only have you empowered new female musicians, but you also have some famous customers, including Avril Lavigne, Joan Jett, Miley Cyrus, and Dolly Parton. Do you have any stories about their experience of your guitars? Any feedback?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everybody has their own story on how they discover Daisy Rock guitars, which is an amazing thing for me. So Miley Cyrus, this little girl named Miley Cyrus that was the daughter of Billy Ray and Tish Cyrus, had an audition for a show called Hannah Montana. And Tish Cyrus got a hold of me and asked me if I would like to have Miley play. I gave her at that point what was our Stardust acoustic electric guitar. And so she went into the audition to audition for Hannah Montana when she was, I'm going to say 10. I think she might have been 9, but she was 10 with a Daisy Rock guitar. And that started our relationship. And so when the show got picked up, and the first year of the show, she played a Daisy Rock Stardust electric, acoustic electric guitar. There's a great scene where she stands out on the patio and she writes this really sad song to her mother who's passed away in the show, and she's playing that guitar. And then after the show was a hit, Fender came in and kind of bought out the set, and then they just had Fender guitars on the set. But so, like, you know, that was like a really cool thing to happen.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's very cool. And, you know, Joan Jett, I mean, of course, in my age group, Joan Jett rules the world.
Yeah.
So we made her a black Heartbreaker guitar years ago and put Velvet Hammer pickups in it, which is one of the things that she loves, and sent it to her. And she's just been a fan of the company since, you know. She introduced me to the Dolly Roth, which was signed to her label at the time. And then Kelly from the Dolly Roths has become one of my best friends. And You know, Joan's incredible. It's like I'm still like really, you know, shy when I get around her because it's like I can't say, or I say too much, or I can't say enough. It's like the strangest thing because she's still to me like this, like, celebrity.
Yeah, because you know. It's like when I was a kid and I was about 11 or 12, and Joan Jett came on the TV, I thought, oh, well, I want to be like that, you know?
Exactly.
It was the first time I'd seen a woman behaving like that, standing up and taking her space on stage.
Oh, yeah. And I had that idea too when the very first time I saw the Go-Go's on Saturday Night Live, which is really big in our country.
Yeah.
And that was my first like, oh my God, they're playing their own instruments. What?
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. And I think it has a strong impact on you as a teenager when you see a woman get up there and she takes her own space and she knows exactly who she is and she's doing her own thing. It has that impact, right? Which is the same with your company that you're doing, encouraging young girls and older women as well.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. The enjoyment of Daisy Rock guitars also extends to famous men, such as Robert Smith from The Cure and Chris Stein from Blondie. What is the male perspective of playing your guitars?
Well, Jimmy Page discovered my company, and he had, you know, I was at a very famous dinner a few years ago, and he was like the guest celebrity at the dinner. And as soon as he walked in, there was, you know, every head of every guitar company and pedal company and parts company was at this dinner, and it was just a sea of men.
Right.
And he walked into the place and was like, I would like you to join me. So my husband thankfully conceded and said I could go sit with Jimmy Page and talk guitars. And I think he designed it, he described it to me best. He goes, I just find it easier to play, to wrap my hand around. And it's of course, it comes in all these really fun, you know, different kinds of colors. And, you know, we've done everything from a kaleidoscope to, you know, groovy swirls to all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, the really cool thing is the fun aspect, that you're actually having girls that, you know, never even thought about playing guitar before want to learn how to play guitar. And that's kind of like the, you know, to me, that was like the biggest compliment coming from a guy, like, it's easier to play for me and I understand why, you know, girls would morally want to play it. And then, you know, of course, Robert Smith, I mean, he can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Robert Smith, he's amazing. And he's been such an amazing support for my company. You know, like the one time Newsweek magazine called me and said, we want a celebrity that will endorse your product. He was the guy that I could find that would endorse it, you know, and he was so kind to just like give them a nice quote and get on the phone with them and say, you know, this is great what she's doing. And, you know, to me, Robert Smith is very innovative, you know, and I think he recognizes innovation in other artists a lot, you know, that's outside of his box. So, and Chris Stein from Blondie was super sweet. Love the guitar, you know. Met Debbie Harry. She's very sassy. I love that about her. She's like, so you got this girl guitar thing, huh?
Oh,
like,
I love it. Fantastic. Oh, wonderful. I'm just thinking about how much I really like these people as you're talking about. I love Robert Smith. I love Chris Stein. I love Blondie. They're all such great people. And, you know, that they've embraced what you're doing is fantastic.
Right. It is fantastic.
Wonderful. So many girls have been altered by your company. What type of feedback do you get from teenage girls?
Well, I've been around enough now that I have girls come up to me at the NAMM show that said, you know, I got my first guitar when I was 10 and now I'm in college.
Yeah.
I have a lot of those. And, you know, I get a lot of fan mail from girls that are just discovering themselves. You know, that was a thing that I think nobody understood when I started my company, is that there was no outreach for these girl musicians. There was this really great girl guitar newsletter that went out called Rocker Girl magazine back in the 80s. And, you know, they're just like, today it's like we see such a surge of different organizations out there to try to help women and girls and bring them into this industry. But back when I started in 18 years ago, there wasn't a lot of that out. So I've been kind of this conduit to girls trying to have a conversation about, you know, what it means to be a girl trying to learn how to play guitar, or play bass, or being in a band, or book a show, or get a recording contract, or deal with a producer, or, you know, all of those questions. But I think the best, one of the reasons why I wrote the Girls Guitar Method is because I realized these girls would be getting like this present of a guitar, you know, birthday, Christmas, whatever, and they'd be ended up in their bedroom with this thing that they don't even really know how to deal with yet. And I wanted to give them some sort of a, something in their life that we could say, this is how you do it. And so that's why we did the Girls Guitar Method, because I wanted it to relate to them. You know, you get like some 50-year-old guy on the cover of a Guitar Method and they just don't relate. And it's what you're saying exactly about like how a girl will see another girl doing something and all of a sudden think, yeah, I can do that. So that's where the Girl Guitar Method came from. And that's why it's so important for these girls, because I know that, you know, they're entering into this, how do I deal with this? Or how do I do this? Or how do I, you know, do I have this talent? And it takes work. And so, but I get a lot of, lovely fan letters. And I think the best are this, you know, the 10-year-old, 8, 9, and 10-year-old girls that are just discovering it. It's the coolest.
Because at the moment we've got an advert with Elton John, and it's for a department store, and the film is that he gets a present of a piano when he's a little boy, and at the end it says some presents at Christmas can change your whole life.
Exactly.
And that's what you're doing, right? Because it can just completely change the whole direction of this girl's life that she's got that guitar.
Right, right.
And I thought that was a very nice idea in this advert. You know, it's totally relevant to what you're doing as well.
Yeah, and I've seen the one that you're talking about where it looks like it's like you live his whole life in the commercial. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's what a great way somebody really captured that in filmmaking. They really did.
And it's like the first time you pick up that guitar or any of those instruments, and that is you. Suddenly, it's a part of you, and you know that that's who you're going to be.
Right. Well, you know, me and my girlfriend, Barbara Hoy, when we were like in eighth grade, I think, her older sister, Anne, played acoustic guitar. And neither one of us played, but we noticed that all the boys really liked Anne because she played acoustic guitar. And we loved the Hardy Boys at the time, Parker Stevenson and Sean Cassidy. And we'd be like kiss their posters at night before we went to bed and stuff. And so we got it in our heads that if we learned how to play acoustic guitar, that they would obviously marry us one day. So it doesn't stray so much, I think, from girls as like a lot of guys will say, yeah, I learned how to play guitar in a band because I wanted to meet girls. And I'm not so confident that that's not the same for women and girls as to why they learn how to play or want to play. I'm not saying it's always the driving force. I know in my life it was a little bit of a driving force.
Yeah.
to boys.
But then you're going to attract a good guy who wants you to be yourself kind of thing. So that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Of course.
Yeah, totally. You have been in various bands yourself, including the wonderfully named Siska and the Sluts.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
What was your experience as a female musician in the early days?
It was really tough. It was really tough in LA. You know, I moved here in 84 and started playing in bands in like 85, 86. And I missed the surge of what was the Go-Go's and the Bangles in LA at that time. But when I came around in bands, like there was a female version of everything. So I was in a female version of the Psychedelic Furs, and I was in a female version of the Ramones. You know, that's kind of how it was. It was like girls really trying to find their identity. And then I ended up in a metal band called Lipstick, which was, you know, on the strip, and we were the house band at the Whiskey on Monday nights for No Bozo Jam for a while. And we had a billboard on the side of the Roxy that faced the rainbow for like 6 years. And so that was the big one. You know, that was the one that I was like, this is it. I'm going to get a record deal, buy a mansion in the hills and retire, which is what everybody thinks. And it's so not true. that's the one that was the biggest and the longest band I was in. And then, of course, after that, I played in a couple bands called, you know, Ultraviolet and Venus, and then called it and had a baby.
You also contribute to Beauty and Chaos, and the latest single is Look Up. Can you tell me what this song means to you?
Well, you know, I have two daughters now that are 18 and 20, and I think I'm starting to recognize in today's society about how many people are not engaging in their life. They're just staring at their phone. And so many things in my life happened because, you know, I wasn't holding a phone in my hand. So I really wanted to write a song and impress upon this to my daughters and my family that you got to get off your phone, because if you don't, you're going to miss these magical moments in your life that could mean that you could have find the love of your life and have kids and dogs and cats and build a history with them, because maybe you both were looking at a phone walking by and didn't connect, you know. And that's, it's obviously really predominantly in our society. Everywhere I go, people are just looking at their phones all the time. I'm not saying that I'm not one of them, but I have a little bit better, I think, phone etiquette than a lot of other people, where I don't look at it when I'm having dinner and I don't look at it when I'm driving. And, but, you know, I really wanted to impress my kids, like, you know, this is your life. Like, don't stare at a box. Go out and live your life. Yeah. Look at the stars and look at the moon and, you know, engage.
And a lot of people, they're filming the moon on the camera, aren't they, rather than actually looking at the goddamn moon, you know?
Yeah, right, right. And I think, I believe there's like this magic in the air when people, you know, you start seeing that energy flow between people and, you know, like, I'm just so afraid my kids are going to miss that.
Thank you.
And I love how the song came out, and I am so proud of what my husband has done with this album. From the minute he started talking about it and conceptualizing it to what the final product was, it far exceeded any of my expectations for it. It's an amazing piece of work.
Fantastic. And finally, can you tell me how we can get hold of a Daisy Rock guitar? We go online. You're international, I believe.
Yeah, and I would say because I'm redoing my website right now, and I do a new launch December 1st. But the smartest thing would be is go on Amazon.com because they have everything right now. So if you want anything for Christmas and you want it really quick, and you can even do Amazon, I believe, through the UK, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and if they can't find it, they will find it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a lot more information after December 1st on our website about where exactly you could go in London and buy a guitar, but I have not gotten that information yet from my distributor, so.
Okay, so will they be able to buy them in London at some point, is that right?
Yeah, we have a distributor there, and I believe they set up the line about 6 months ago. I'm still waiting for the information, but yeah, I think if you searched Daisy Rock guitars for sale in London, you would come up with a couple of stores.
Oh, excellent. Okay, fantastic. Well, Tish, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been fantastic.
Oh my gosh, I love talking about Daisy Rock, and for anybody that's out there, make sure you go to beautyandchaosmusic.com and check out the new album. It's an amazing piece of work, and it's got so many talented players on it.
Thank you so much. And for more gorgeous women, go to radiogorgeous.com.